step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
The judge said it out loud at the sentencing of Rex Heuermann. Eight that we know of. Heuermann owned property also in South Carolina. Had timeshares in Las Vegas. Can you imagine being the timeshare salesperson like, hey, you want that free dinner over at the IHOP? You just got to come over here. And I wonder how many certificates Rex. Can I get an extra one? I really like the pancakes. But he had timeshares. He had timeshares in Las Vegas, and investigators have looked at ties to Atlantic City as well. Some of those states execute people for what Heuermann did. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, is with us to break down whether the number eight is where this ends or where it all starts. That plea deal, of course, protects him in Suffolk County for these eight women. They're not going to be prosecuted again. It's done. But if South Carolina finds a body connected to him, does that New York deal mean anything in their courtroom? Should information come about?
The only thing it would mean, in my impression, is that it'd be much more likely that Rex Heuermann would put to death if the Carolina case was provable, because it certainly doesn't protect him in any form or fashion. If anything, it's just aggravating to the extent that he has been convicted of eight other murders. Oh, now we're on nine? Like, I think at some point a jury and a judge might say, hey, this can't go on forever. You've got your chances. And I think it makes the death penalty way more likely.
Resources are a big thing. How much incentive does Carolinas or any of these other areas where he may have been hunting, how much incentive do they have to put resources at trying to connect Rex Heuermann to unsolved murders from decades ago when he's already locked up for eternity? Is it something that would be high in the priority list of somebody there? I guess, you know, for the right reasons. You can look at the, well, maybe if somebody's running for election and they want to crack a big case, this would make some headlines. But is it worth it, I guess, in terms of if there's not that other lever and some other motive to go after this case for South Carolina or another area to spend the resources trying to connect those dots?
You know, I think that those authorities and those other locales would be remiss if they had significant leads and did not at least explore them. You know, although they would be cold cases, so those are extremely hard to investigate. All, you know, your evidence has eroded, witnesses have died. It costs a ton of money to pursue that. But on the flip side, you have these convictions of Rex, and you have sort of a modus operandi, a pattern that he has used to time and again to commit these similar atrocities. And if you can line up that pattern with evidence you find in your locale, that makes it significantly easier to pursue a conviction. So upsides and downsides. Resources are certainly front of mind, but so are the optics of all this. And I don't think any authorities in those jurisdictions want to say, yeah, this person died, but that was a long time ago. It's going to cost a lot of money. We're not going to look into it.
So I'm curious about this one, Eric, because we haven't quite seen it in any of the cases we've covered before. So say you have a family or a couple families in South Carolina or in Vegas or somewhere that, you know, have a private investigator. They're able to do their own investigation. They're able to say that they believe that Rex was responsible for the death of their family member, and but South Carolina is not picking up as a criminal thing, can they then go after Rex civilly? Without a criminal case?
But you're running into, under those circumstances, statute of limitations issues. Statute of limitations for civil claims are way shorter than on the criminal side. They're usually like 3 years or something. And there are tolling exceptions. But if you believe this guy did it, you would have to show like some newly discovered evidence that would renew the statute. It would be a tall order to pursue that.
Right.
I guess my question on that would be, what attorney would take up that case if there's not much to get out of it civilly, other than it's the, you know, getting justice, the right thing to do, that sort of a thing. I mean, I get it, but again, I mean, nobody works for free. Everybody needs to eat. And that would be a lot of work.
Marketing, you know, we covered.
I mean,
if you're trying to get your name out there as a civil guy, as a defense attorney, you're basically doing a pro bono.
But you would get on everything. You would really get a lot of attention that way. That is true. That's a lever to pull.
Yeah, you would. You know, in the wrongful death context, most attorneys take those on what's called a contingency fee, meaning they only get paid a percentage of whatever the recovery is. This guy doesn't have any assets. They're not going to be able to, there would be no financial incentive for an attorney to do it. It would have to be some other motivation.
The DA called the FBI interviews that he's supposed to be doing with the BAU eventually here from prison, the Behavioral Analysis Unit, academic, not investigative. So think if anybody's watching this going, what is this all about? Mindhunter. There you go. That's what they're talking about doing, just like the show. If Huerman describes something in that room that matches an unsolved case in another state, can it be used if this is academic, not investigative? Is that just the words being thrown into the ether right now, but they really hold no weight? Should Huerman reveal something that nobody's expecting?
Yeah, so the FBI isn't writing a treatise or some legal scholarship that they're going to publish in some collegiate journal or something.
Yeah.
They could give whatever purported purpose that they want. But absolutely, if the FBI acquires information that is useful in an investigation, there is nothing prohibiting them from using that. Even if they said, it's not an investigation, guys, it's academic. Well, you stumbled upon evidence of a crime. At that juncture, they would be perhaps duty-bound to continue to pursue that investigation, despite whatever kind of pretext they wanted to label the interview as.
Yeah, because one of the things they're going to be going for in these interviews with him is his life arc of methodology, how it evolved, how he stayed ahead of investigators, how he controlled his environment. And we know a decent amount about how he controlled Long Island, but he had different venues in which he lived. And so they're definitely going to be very interested in this, because remember, he's got a sadistic fantasy world going on in his head, and he's acting out on it in Long Island, but he also traveled these other locations. They're going to be very interested in, did his modus operandi of sadistic satisfaction transfer and morph into something different in these other locations? And so they're not going to say, hey, what'd you do in South Carolina? They're going to say, how did you play out this sadistic fantasy of yours throughout your life? How did that look? How did it evolve? And so then they're going to be able to then look back in all the places he's lived and resided and vacationed and seeing if there's any fit there. And then they can even probe in there. And because that's what they're really trying to do, then you take that academic side and overlay it with operational things. And then you reapply that new filter, which is a profile, to these cold cases and see if anything fits.
Yeah, I agree.
How do they get the information about his whereabouts over 30 years? I mean, it's one thing, you know, in the last 10, 15, there's a pretty good digital trail on almost everybody. But you go before then, it's harder to find records and things like that. How much information do they already have about all of those years of his life, of where he was when he was? I mean, we know that he had a timeshare out there. He had some property. There was different places he had these sort of things. In the investigation into where we got today in New York, how much do they know about when he was in the Carolinas or when he was in other locations? I would imagine like forensic accounting might answer some of those questions to see where receipts are if you look at bank statements. But like other than that, how do you truly dig into that type of data when it goes so far back to say you were here on this date? How does that process even work to start getting some answers?
Those investigators are going to have to get creative. It is extremely difficult to investigate someone's whereabouts decades ago. Heck, if someone asked me where I was, you know, two Wednesdays ago at 6:45 p.m., I probably...
My credit card would tell you. That would be about it.
Yeah. So I'll tell you.
You know, so you got to look at that, see if there's a paper trail. Sometimes when it comes to property, that there are, you know, ownership records, there are leases, there are things that are recorded with the clerk and recorder. There are witnesses who, you know, perhaps next to the timeshare, there's a house that's been there for 50 years and it's been in the same family. You go to that family and you talk to them. You know, are there any sort of Polaroids that might have been found at Rex Hurlman's location? You kind of have to get creative in those respects, but very difficult.
I think that the greatest tool I had when I was able to go up on someone's information when tracking bad guys, when I had credit card statements, it was gold. That was my gold because that established timelines, it established places they frequented, established likes, interests, and the travel we're talking about. And what's the benefit to all the investigators on this is what he looks like. And they've said it before, he's extremely recognizable. So you get a credit card statement, goes because you can get credit card statements for a long time. I mean, you can track this stuff for a very long time. You take a photograph, you go interview people at these locations, and you start jogging memories through these interviews. I think because of how he looks and how he behaved, you're going to have an easier time establishing timelines and locations than you will with more average looking guy.
That's a good point.
I like to know more about these properties that he's owns or the timeshares, because I could be wrong, and correct me if I am, but in all of the things that we've viewed on this case and heard about this case, we've heard about these things existing, but we've never heard about anybody really frequenting them other than Rex, if you got the timeshare. We didn't hear anything about, oh, and then the family went to the timeshare. I mean, maybe it's in there. I could be completely off, and it just hasn't stood up. But I do find it interesting that, oh, you know, her husband, dad's got this property, but nobody's ever going to it or checking it out other than him. Weird dynamics, but the family is the definition of a weird dynamic. So it probably could have been completely normal. But that seems to be a little odd to me that there wasn't like, oh, we love going to that timeshare every year or whatever.
Of course. And, you know, in most family dynamics, if the family has some kind of vacation home or some sort or something like that, or even like, let's say they had like a jet ski and it was at some dock or some lake, you know, it'd be weird if only one member of that family ever went and utilized that. And everyone else, you know, wouldn't the kids say, hey, we want to go check out the jet ski? Wouldn't the wife say, hey, yes, you know, does it need to be maintained? What's going on with that? That's of shared financial interest. You would just think that those things would come up and it wouldn't be just one person going to this timeshare.
After he bought a bag, a chain and an anchor from Home Depot, and went out on the jet ski by himself.
The Scott Peterson special at the Depot.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. And I know people have been putting in the comments as well. Yeah, with his DNA being in CODIS, there's also that chance also when you start overlapping potential DNA with cold cases, going back in time on those with credit card statements, with interviews, with photos. I think when it comes to possibility of hope of identifying more victims of his being associated with him, there's a higher probability with him than others because of that.
I wonder if there is, how long it will take for those names to be identified, to be associated with him. I mean, just thinking back on other cases, you know, sometimes it's, you know, many years after they're already dead. I mean, 30, 40. But the thing is, a lot of that DNA from these cold cases, it's not just like sitting in a digital file where they can just do a quick search and like, let's match this to right. the, like some of the, I mean, if those cases are literally archived physically somewhere. So someone has to take the information, take the DNA, get it into the system. And then that sort of matching can be done. And only then. So either that happens because they're going through the inventory and they're putting everything into the system as one big fail swoop, or it's, hey, let's go grab this one. This seemed to happen around the time that we know he was here. Let's see if there's any matches.
Well, the challenge in this is, you know, the further south you go, you're dealing with decomposition of people faster and little, you know, I think the areas to dispose of bodies are more vast, I guess, in South Carolina than in Long Island, New York. And then you have the desert environment in Vegas. So I think getting DNA from victims and having victims identified in those areas might be more challenging than they were necessarily in Long Island. But because, again, I think that's just one potential hurdle to faster rather than later.
Eric, how do you think he's going to do in prison? He's a very different personality than others. Is this one that goes into Gen Pop right away with his jovial attitude? Or is he really in danger just because of the notoriety of who he is? And he would be a target for someone to take down the Gilgo Beach killer.
You know, on that point, Tony, I read a report indicating that another serial killer who's incarcerated, I don't have his
happy
name
face.
My tongue.
Yeah. The
yeah.
happy face killer.
And I'm pretty sure that this killer sent some kind of message or letter to Rex, basically saying like, hey, prison is going to be a problem for you. Like, I know you're a big dude, but it's a numbers game in prison and you got to have allies. You got to have a crew. And I'm not sure that this kind of a freak is going to be able to garner that kind of protection. In fact, I think the attention he's going to get is going to be the opposite of protection.
You think he'll join a gang, Rex Sherman?
No one would want him.
Wonder what gang he would join.
Yeah, motley crew of weirdos.
The toops of Long Island. It's just everybody has a toupee. Does he get to keep his toupee in prison, or are they toupee-less in prison?
I can't say I've ever seen a person that I've known to wear a toupee to have that in jail or prison. You know, in jail you gotta take out your piercings, permanent modifications that you've done to your body. Sometimes those are undone, and so I doubt he's gonna be able to keep that, man.
We're going to see a very different looking Rex Heuermann in the coming weeks.
I don't think he's gonna be around long. I think he's gonna die pretty rapidly in prison, is my guess.
A self exit or deletion, or is somebody going to hit control alt delete on him?
I think his health. I really do. I mean he is a big guy, and he's got a lot of rough years on him, it looks like. I just don't think his health is the best.
At the end of the day, carbs are going to kill him.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. It's like too much carbs, not enough protein. That took out the Gilgo Beach killer.
Yeah, he's still in Suffolk County because someone asked him where he's being housed right now. Yeah. He's still in Suffolk County custody right now.
Yeah, there you go. Rex Heuermann sentenced. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love to continue the conversation right there. All right. Until next time, Eric Faddis, thank you for being here. Robin Drake, and for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. if you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply. Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No.